Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number three. Still talking Penn State Pitt. He's Jim Galante. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're back in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're hearing from James Franklin now and some of the things that we brought up in the first couple quarters, some questions about coaching. He gets into a few of those, talks about the Pitt series. So these are his, from his post-game news conference. Well, if you're not familiar, we're going to play the clip and we'll talk about the clip. So the first one was, I think this was part of his opening statement. Just talk about the Pitt series in general. Happy to be 1-0, happy to be 3-1 in the series.
1-0. Awesome. Awesome being 1-0. I thought the four-game series was great. Very competitive. That first game, this last game was very competitive as well. We're happy to be 3-1 in this series. We're happy to be 1-0.
So James doesn't say a whole lot of substance in that. We hear the 1-0 mantra, which we hear before games, but we hear after games. That's all that matters is going 1-0. And to some extent, he's right about that. That's what it all comes down to in college football. But, you know, you can definitely question whether some of these games should have been as competitive as they were. Like, the fact of the matter is, I know that Penn State's got new pieces, but you shouldn't be playing on your home field a game like this against a team like that. And I guess I just can't get away from that, you know, big picture thought. Yeah, you won. It was 17-10. It was not pretty in the first half. I think you could have done a little bit more to slam the door on these guys late in this game too. Pitt obviously had their misstep, but you know, I think that to me is what it comes down to is, you know, Penn State talent wise is just too good. Has too much talent to be playing a game like this. And it comes down to me again, Pitt had a game plan. Pitt knows who it is. They know what they're trying to do to you. They're going to adjust their game plan by opponent. They're going to get a little bit more aggressive as they did, I think, in this game when they have a little less to lose, when they're underdogs and rightful underdogs in this game. But at their core, they are who they are. I still just don't know who Penn State is.
I'm hoping this bye week helps them find that out.
Yeah, and maybe this is exactly what this team needs going into the conference schedule. All right, speaking of, you know, late in this game, James Franklin was asked about Pat Narduzzi's decision to kick the field goal from 19 yards down 17-10 late.
Decision that they made, you know, I felt like, the decision they made obviously was make sure they get points. They had lost momentum. They started at the 1 yard line. They were going backwards. If they get points at that time, then obviously the next time they get the ball, a touchdown wins the game for them rather than tie. It's hard for me to sit here and say, you know, necessarily exactly what he was thinking, but the touchdown would have gave him the win. I'm assuming that's what they thought. Had a lot of confidence in their defense that they'd stop us and get back on the field.
Here's what I have to say about that. I think nobody understands a questionable in-game decision like a questionable in-game coach. You know, I think a lot of Penn State fans feel that way right now. And I think that was a pretty diplomatic answer, is to kind of put himself in Pat Narduzzi's shoes and not throw the guy under the bus, all while saying, like, I'm not in their head, so I can't explain that part of it.
Let me translate for you. That was coach speak for, I don't know what in the world he was thinking.
Yeah, but here, I think in theory, this is what it would have been. So yeah, not a lot of substance there, but we all know how to interpret that late call by Pat Narduzzi. How about the goal line stand that set that all up? James Franklin talked about that, the magnitude of his defense coming up with a big stop.
Well, you know, obviously at the 1 yard line, that's impressive. That's hard to do. You know, I mean, that is hard to do. I thought, you know, I think they started with a pass. You know, we were able to flush him in the pocket. Obviously, the 4th-and-1 call they made was a really good call. We lost our eyes on the tight end on the short yardage situation on 4th-and-1. Very similar to who I think, you know, maybe we had it against Wisconsin a few years ago. Very similar look to that. But yeah, when you're able to, you know, stop someone at that 1 yard line, get them moving backwards, and then obviously, you know, miss the field goal. I mean, not significant in the game, obviously. You know,
so that is a fact. It is hard to do, as hard it is for an offense to not score with three chances from the one. It's harder for a defense to come up with a stop. And I think, you know, you do have to give some credit here to Penn State's defense. You can question the decision-making all the way through all the field goal, but they got to stop. They forced Pitt into doing something, into making a difficult decision.
Exactly. And it's easy to second guess the play calling from Pitt, but if they, and the reason why we second guess it is Penn State was able to stop it. If they had on first down tried to ram the ball in and got stopped, someone said, gee, if they would have tried to pass the ball, it would, probably would have been wide open.
I mean, any
they did, and it wasn't open.
Anytime it doesn't work out for you, you know, coaches are comfortable. You know, James Franklin says that all the time. Yeah, you have grounds to second guess and question it, and that's fair. But, you know, I do think it was a big goal line stand. It was an important goal line stand. Who knows what happens if this is a 17-17 game instead?
And it also tells you the potential of this Penn State defense, how good it can be.
And I think some defenses just have that personality, Jim, where you bend. But when it comes down to crunch time, you don't break. And there's some qualities in this defense that suggest that they'll be able to buckle down in red zone situations. You want to see the pass rush be better. You want to see them not bend at all. But if you're going to, you know, have one attribute as a defense, keeping points off the board is a pretty good attribute as a defense.
And at the end of the day, they held Pitt to 10 points. I'd be pretty happy if going forward they hold their opponents to 10 points.
You know, I think if somebody would have said that Kenny Pickett's going to throw for 370 plus, and you're going to allow 10 points to this Pitt team, you're going to be pretty happy with that from a defensive point of view.
Exactly.
Offensively, it might be a different story. All right. So the late drive, you know, we mentioned, you know, talk about Noah Cain. James Franklin was asked about that. And this is where he made that admission that they second thought that themselves.
Yes, same rotation we had, but I did think that he ran really well. On that drive, I've said it to you guys before, he's not going to do a whole lot that just kind of blows you away. He's just so productive. You know, he's going to get a 4-yard run and fall for 6. He's going to get a 3-yard run and fall for 5. That was one of the things I know on the headset right afterwards, that on that last drive we were saying, you know, we probably should have, you know, subbed him in, because that would have been a good situation for his style of running. But I thought he played really well. We got confidence in all 4 backs. All 4 backs did some really good things. Things that jump out in my mind, obviously Journey with over 100 yards. I think about Ricky Slade on the big pass play on the angle route. Obviously Noah Cain as well. So, you know, a bunch of guys doing some really good things for us.
So we did get some kind of admission to what the conversation was afterwards, and maybe if they go back in time. Not that Journey Brown doesn't deserve to be on the field, because I think he's shown that he deserves to be on the field, and I think they, you know, over 3 games, it seems clear not only the fact that Journey Brown started in this game. I mean that is a testament, I think, to how they feel about him. So to have him on the field in the fourth quarter is not the worst thing in the world. However, given the way that Noah Cain ran, given the situation, given the fact that you're probably going to have a loaded box and you need exactly what he just described there, that's what Penn State fans are thinking about right now. And it's by James Franklin's words going back to January, talking about Noah Cain. Well, he always falls forward. He always gets the hard yards. He always, you know, production. This is exactly the situation where you need that. I know we've covered this ground before, but this was James just kind of admitting it.
Exactly. And when you're on the headset saying, gee, maybe we should have Noah Cain in there, last I saw, there's not a rule against putting another player in and replacing a player who's in. Just because Journey Brown started the drive didn't mean he had to finish it. You can substitute players. Am I not correct on that?
You might have to ask James if he realizes that. No, I mean, it's easy to beat him up. Journey Brown's a good player. He deserves to be on the field, but the situation is what it is. Like, everybody in the stadium knew what Penn State was trying to do, eat clock. Penn State has not been real good in this role. You know, you want to talk about going back to, like, the Rose Bowl a few years ago? You know, that's another one where it's like, what do you do? You know, you want to stay true to your identity. We still don't know what that is. You want to stay true to your uncertain identity. You want to stay aggressive in some respects. You want to still hold the ability to, you know, like not do what the game situation says is going to come. You know, you play action and whatever you want. You just because you need to burn clock doesn't mean you can't take shots. And speaking of which, that actually segues right into what he said about their approach here. And they have a, what is it, a 3rd and 4, and they take a shot down the field instead of trying to keep the clock moving.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, the third down call, we weren't successful because one guy ran the wrong play. And it's hard to be successful when you got one guy that thought it was a different call. We felt like we were going to get a big play in that situation and got stopped. But we got to be clean. You know, we got to be clean. There's no doubt about it. We were able to get a first down. We were able to swing field position. I mean, obviously you'd love to end the ball on your terms, either with a touchdown or kneeling down at the end of the game or whatever it may be. But, most importantly, we made them burn their timeouts. We were able to get a first down. You know, obviously when you run the ball in that situation, you don't pick it up on third down. I get it, but, you know, we felt very good about the call, but we didn't execute the call.
So I know you have something to say here. my thought when you have a 3rd and 4 and you take a shot down the field, you didn't execute all that. It's like the reverse of the Ohio State call last year. Well, you know what? It was a good call. We just didn't execute the call. They did something we didn't see. It's like I think sometimes when you're thinking about it too much, you know, this is – you can always justify the overthinking.
Well, the two thoughts. One is, we've talked about it. James Franklin has talked about that 4-minute offense and being able to run clock, get first downs. It didn't seem as if when they got the ball and it was right around that 4-minute mark that they were prepared for it. This is what we're going to do. This is going to be our identity with 4 minutes. And I had listened to that quote previously, but hearing it again. Last time I listened to it, it was, oh, someone ran the wrong way, so or else it would have succeeded. But he said, we would have had a big play. It sounds like they were still looking to go downfield when it's as if that logic, again, we need explosive plays to win the game. No, at that point, you needed a first down. You didn't need to score points. You didn't need to go downfield. You needed one more first down, and the game would have essentially been over. And instead, you threw a low percentage pass.
I think that I'm in general like what Pitt did on 4th and 1, for example. I'm okay with zigging when your opponent thinks you're going to zag. And by the way, the 4-minute offense. One final point on that. It comes down to they know what's coming. You know what you want to do. Who exerts their will better? Penn State doesn't really seem to have a plan in that situation. All right, moving on. More from James Franklin right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.